There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. We'll hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the King when he comes. Are you ready? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is for the pure, the vile can never stay. And we shall see the King when he comes. Oh yes, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior, King, and Lord of all? And the kingdoms of this world shall soon before him fall, and we shall see the King when he comes. Come on, sing it. Oh, yes, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Are you ready? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? For my home is for the pure. The vile can never stay. And we shall see the King when he comes. Oh, yes, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the King when he comes. Let's sing that first verse. There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. And it may be evening, morning, or at noon. It's the wedding of the bride, united with the groom. And we shall see the King when he comes. Sing it. Oh, yes, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the King when he comes. Oh, yes, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the King.
Come on, sing it again.
Oh, yes, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King.
Let's sing that last verse.
Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior, King, and Lord of all? And the kingdoms of this world shall soon before him fall. Yes, we shall see the King when he comes. Oh, yes, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, yes, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see.
Chapter 16, a great verse of scripture. Verse 18. Matthew 16, verse 18. I want to preach this morning on a thought that I hope you'll never forget. I'm excited about it. I want to preach it to preachers. I've already set my heart on preaching a sermon at camp meeting this year and preaching this sermon because I believe it really is that imperative. But I want to preach on Christ's vision for his church. Jesus Christ's vision for his church. What did the Lord plan for his church? What was his vision of his church? And how can we get ourselves in that same vision and let it become part of our life? I read Matthew 16, 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now that rock is two things, but one thing. Christ the Word living. Christ the Word written. Christ the Word living. Christ the Word written. The Bible, the Holy Bible, and Christ together become the rock on which Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, goody, goody devil. Goody, goody devil. The gates of hell shall not prevail against a church built on the rock. Gotta be built on the rock. Gotta be on the rock. Can't be on Joe Chambers. Can't be on Danny Lawless, Marvin Clark, Dylan Beatty, or anybody else in this building. Gotta be built on the rock. On Christ the living word and Christ the written word. There is no division between the living word and the written word. Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Right? I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. So the living word, the written word, upon that rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now go to Acts chapter 20. We'll find one verse, Acts 20 and verse 28. Acts 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. That's talking to me, to the men, ladies of this church. Take heed unto yourself and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you an overseer. What a duty as a pastor. What a duty as you men and you ladies of Israel have in protecting and feeding the house of God, feeding the church. Take heed unto yourselves and the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. That's not a denominational name. That's a biblical name. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And man, what can I give you more powerful than these two verses of scripture? One, it makes it plain the church is built on the rock. The other, it makes it plain that it was his blood that purchased that church that's built on the rock. So the church, now look at me. People treat the church today like it's just a kind of a do or don't do, give or take, yes or no. People treat the church like, I'll go today, but I don't feel good next Sunday. You know there's a Sunday sickness that goes all around everywhere there's a church? A Sunday sickness. You feel things on Sunday. When you wake up, you don't ever feel no other time. And you allow excuses. And the devil finds out you allow excuses, so he'll give you a new one every week. Pretty good preaching, huh? Am I right or wrong? How many of you know that on Sunday morning there's more excuses why not to go to church than any other day in the world? How many know that? Let me see your hand. Come on, some of you just won't tell the truth. Come on. There's always excuses. I got rid of mine 67 years ago, and I've never had one since. And I refuse them. They are from the enemy, and they're not going to capture me. And you better learn that, or you'll be in and out of church the rest of your life. If we would ever get all of our visitors coming as regular as our faithful, we would have a good attendance every Sunday. But some of you are still in that habit of thinking, I can go, I can stay. Maybe yes, maybe no. And I'm up here this morning to remove that excuse out of your mind, out of your thoughts, and take it so far from you that it never comes back. Is that okay? I'm not being mean. I'm just loving you. I'm just letting you know how much I care and how much I love the church. I don't know about you, but I love the church. I remember the Sunday morning that Brother Lambert took members in the church, and I didn't know, and I was brand new, and I just got saved, and I'm all in a diddle. I'm not knowing what to do. And so that afternoon I said, Brother Lambert, please make that offer again tonight. I've got to be part of this church before I go home. I didn't know I was already part of it biblically. I really didn't know. I really didn't know that when I got saved, he added me to the church right then. But I wanted my name on the book. I wanted my name on the roll. I did. And so he gave me that chance. And I've loved it every day since that day. I can tell you without a doubt. You may be seated. God bless you. I'm preaching this morning on Christ's vision for his church. Now, I'm going to be preaching more of this along. So I'm not going to fulfill all of each state, each purpose this morning. I'm going to give you the plan, the divine heavenly plan, and then I'll move on, and we'll talk about it more, because I've determined in the weeks to come between now and camp meeting, I'm going to plaster this everywhere. I'm going to plaster it on the walls. You're going to come in and you're going to see Christ's vision for the church. Now I'll take these 7 points and I'm going to try to drive them home to my life. And then I'm going to try to drive them home to your life, because they are wonderful and they are biblical. Number one, the first vision of Christ for his church was the Bible would be its textbook. The Bible would be its textbook. There would be no person, no individual, no great thinker, no great person who wants to be in charge and rule things that could write a vision for his church. It had to be the textbook. He immediately made the Bible the center of his church. He immediately made the Bible the answer of all the questions concerning his church. The Bible became the textbook, the one and only textbook. And God wants his church to live in that book. That pulpit is an example of what should be the center of God's church in every situation. It is the Word of the living God. It is the place of preaching the truth of God's book. And any church built on the Word of God will stand and will somehow endure the tough times and will come out smelling like a rose. Woo, shake those hands again, Brother Johnson. I like that. That means you're going to be regular from now on, don't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you, God builds his church on the Word. God builds his church on the Word. My duty every Sunday, every service is to give you that book. Amen. Not preach sermons, but preach messages out of the book. Sermons out of that book that reach down to your heart and get a hold of you. God builds his church on the book. Upon this rock I will build my church. Upon this rock I will build my church. The Christ of the book. The Christ and the book. The rock of ages and the rock written on ink with ink and paper. God's word is the textbook of his church. Everybody that wants to know about the church, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Oh, it's very, very important. I want to give you one scripture. Luke 4:4. Now you need to hear this. I've used it many times through the years, but I want to use it this morning. Very important. Luke 4 and 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. So you don't live by bread. A good meal is wonderful, but you don't live by bread alone. You live by the word of God. I want to try to get through to your heart this morning that if you're going to be a Christian like you ought to be, and you're going to be ready to go to heaven when that rapture sounds, you better get yourself in this book. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the world is full of all kinds of ideas. The world is full of theologies. The world is full of men's opinions. The devil will even fill your imagination with things that are unbiblical. So get in the book. Man shall not live by bread alone. Somebody say it with me, please. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Can you say that word, every? What does that mean? The whole book? You mean God wants me to get this whole book inside of me? He sure does. The only safety you've got is to live by the word of God. I've been thrilled with Brother Danny because from the time he got back to God, he's lived in the Bible. I mean, he's always trying to preach to me. He almost never walks in the door. I had to run from him. Or he'll have me lassoed for 10 minutes preaching to me and telling me what he's read this week. I like that. Sometimes my mind can't handle it because I've already got it so full of what I'm planning to preach. But I tell you what, I like it, Brother Danny. Man shall not live by bread alone. Say it with me now. But by every word. One place it says that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Did you know this book came from the mouth of God? Did you know when you go home at night and you don't have time to read your Bible and you just shut it somewhere, you just shut the mouth of God. I wear Bibles out because somebody get my notes out and hold them for me, will you, brother? Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Just hold them. Don't pass them on. I'll spill them again. See, you don't shut the Bible. I leave my Bible all over, almost everywhere I leave it open. Sometimes I close it because I tear them up so bad when I don't close it. But I want my Bible open. I want you to get the Bible in you from your head to your toes. I want you to get so full of this Bible, so full of this great old book, that it guides and directs and feeds your soul. It'll make you fat. Did you know that? It'll make you fat. I heard the other day some preacher preaching on a fat Christian. He wasn't talking about heavy with food. He's talking about fat with God's word. Fat with God's hand. Fat with God's blessings. Oh, God, give us a miracle. Number two, the vision of Christ for his church. If I be lifted up, he said, I will draw all men unto me. The second vision Christ had for his church was that he would be the Lord of his church. Not just the Lord somewhere out there, but the Lord of his church. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Would you say that? If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So build your life on Christ. Build your life on his truth. I must preach him. Oh, I've got to preach him. I started the other day, I want to write a song. I want to write this song, and I want it to be a song with every name of Jesus in the Bible in that song. And I want every name in the Bible. I've been memorizing them. I've been writing them all over my mind, all over my heart. The Rock of Ages, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and Morning Star, the Rose of Sharon, the Alpha, Omega, the Beginning and the End, the First and the Last, who is, who was, who is to come, and on and on and on. That name is the mighty name. So we build the church on Jesus. Christ, the Lord, not a Lord, the Lord. Would you say that? Not a Lord, the Lord. There's such a difference. People think of him as being wonderful, and he is. a mighty God. Yvette, thank you for learning that song and singing it for me. I'm telling you, Jesus is a mighty Christ. Jesus is a mighty Savior. And can I tell you that after all these years, He still amazes me. I learn things every day. I come here to pray in the mornings and all through the winter when I've been so sick. I don't guess I missed a morning, did I? Did I miss a morning? Maybe one. Maybe I did miss one. I don't remember. But I know I was right here, sick or not sick, because I knew staying right in the presence of Jesus, healing would have to come. Hallelujah. I knew He'd make me whole. And I can tell you from up there to the bottom of them feet, I'm a healed man. In fact, He's doing something for me that kind of scares me. He's renewing my youth like an eagle. That means I got to work harder. I got to work hard. Hallelujah. He's the Lord of all. Come on, say it with me. He's the Lord of all. How many of you will quit playing around with it and make Him Lord of all your life? How many of you will quit getting so busy with things of the world that you can't make Him Lord every hour and every day? He's the Lord of all. His vision for the church is built on the Word and built on His name, His person, His might. And then there's another step. When the Lord built His church, He planned one engine to be the power of His church. He planned the Holy Ghost to be the supernatural force that would move His church forward. And either the Holy Ghost moves His church forward or it goes backwards. Even we are committed to the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I started with Wednesday. Now, 2 weeks ago, this past Wednesday, memorizing and repeating over and over and over the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost. And I say them many times every day now. And I'm more dependent than ever on the words of wisdom, the words of knowledge, the faith, the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, an interpretation of tongues. And I'm dependent on those 9 gifts. They're not just gifts for extraordinary activity. They're gifts for everything the church is. Everything the church is must be in the power of those 9 great gifts of authority and Holy Ghost. Woo! Somebody just raise a hand and say, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost until He rules my life. I want to be baptized in fire. I want to be baptized in the anointing of the Spirit. I want to be so full of God. Everywhere I go, God is being manifest and God is being revealed. You can put on an emotion like you got something of the Holy Ghost moving, but emotion of what you put on is as empty as a gourd. It's when the Holy Ghost moves that something changes. Amen. Hallelujah. So the engine, the authority, the power of the church is the working of the Holy Spirit. The working of the Holy Spirit. Did you know in 1 Corinthians 12:7, he said something that every Christian ought to ever remember? Ever remember? 1 Corinthians 12:7. Let me read it to you. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. If you don't have the Holy Ghost manifest in you, you don't have an ounce of power from God. You just operate in your own ability, your own wisdom, your own capacity. If the gifts of the Holy Ghost haven't been released in you, if you haven't given yourself to such praying, and it takes some kind of praying, I know with me, the more I prayed, the stronger the anointing has come. Oh, I was praying this morning early. I used to get here at 6 on Sunday morning. Today I was a little late. It was after 6. But I want to tell you something. When you get along with God, you pray and you pray and you keep on praying. After a while, something begins to break upon you and something begins to move up and down the avenues of your soul, and you begin to feel something real happening in your life. And that's the need of the church like it's never been before. We've got to have a mighty visitation of the Holy Ghost. We've got to have a mighty visitation of the Holy Ghost. And I can tell you right now, if we keep praying, it's going to happen, because God's not going to be accused of malfeasance. God's not going to be accused of not keeping His promise. God's not going to be accused of sending you on your knees in the altar of God and not show up to show to everybody that God is real and His power is real. Hear me, church. Okay, somebody raise a hand with me, will you? Are you listening? How many of you are listening? Raise your hand way up high if you're listening. Don't let some old gossip tongue that you've heard somewhere keep you from hearing the Word of God this morning. Help me now, church. We please, hallelujah. We believe in you, Lord. Mighty God and mighty to save. I love Him. Number four. Now you got to hear this. The church was born with a harvest field awaiting its activity. Did you hear what I said? The church was born with a harvest field. You listen to Jesus as He talked. Let's go for instance to John 4. And hear a verse of Scripture. John 4. There's so many of these. I can only read one. Oh, but there's many of them. John 4. And let's go, if we might, to verse 35. Listen. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Did you know that Jesus said that before He was crucified? Do you know that Jesus said that down in Samaria to His disciples, really, the presence of the Samaritans? Did you know that was Jesus thinking and visualizing what His death would mean and before? And so in the midst of that thinking, Jesus speaks to His disciples and said, don't you guys say the harvest is future? The harvest is off down the road. He said, lift up your eyes and look, for the fields are already white unto harvest. How many of you saw somebody struggling down the street this week as you went on your way to work or wherever you was going? I did. How many saw somebody? Raise your hand if you've seen somebody this week struggling. Have you seen anybody this week? Yeah, I see hands all over the place. Everywhere you look, what do you see? You see a field white unto harvest. And then he goes on to say, but where are the laborers? The harvest is great. This is Jesus talking now. But the laborers are few. And he said, pray you, the Lord of harvest, to send forth laborers into the harvest. I pray this morning, Father, send forth laborers into the harvest of this city. Send forth laborers in the harvest of this city. Listen to me, Brother Dylan, we talk through our hat. If we talk about shaking the city and we're never out there on those streets trying to reach a lost, dying man, a woman, and telling somebody of the saving merits of the cross. I want to be a witness of Christ everywhere I go. I don't want to pass a sinner and let him go to hell without hearing somebody say, sir, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus cares about your soul. The harvest is white. The laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest. This is Jesus talking. This is Jesus visualizing His church. A harvest field. A harvest field, Martin Clark. A harvest field, Danny Lawless. A harvest field, Brother Charles. A harvest field, Joe Flores. A harvest field. Now, everybody that knows there's a harvest field, have to raise your hand with me. I want you to know that there's a harvest field. Now, I want you to know it's white and a harvest. You know, I was raised on the farm. And I remember the big old wheat fields and oak fields. Have you ever been around where there was wheat and oaks growing? How many of you have ever been around that? I remember watching those fields of oaks and wheat. And you know, I could tell when the harvest had come, because those big old heads of wheat would hang over. They'd get heavy. the big old wheat. That's what I was trying. Big old wheat was a big old thing, about like the finger. That's about the size as I remember, a big finger, maybe more like the thumb. And those big old heads would get full and big. Then it'd hang over. And you know what? Now listen to this. My dad was a smart man. He knew the right moment to go out there and harvest that wheat, that oaks, because it come a big rain at the wrong time when it was late with the harvest. And that stuff would fall over in the fields. And you couldn't harvest it. Well, you could, but you'd lose half of it because the field had been left too long. And could I tell you, the fields of Charlotte have been left too long. Is anybody listening? The fields all around the neighborhood where you live have been left too long. How many of you have ever knocked on the door of your next door neighbor and told him about Jesus? Raise your hand. See, I knew it. I knew I wouldn't get a hand. Had him told your next door neighbor. Sister Burns, you're here this morning because I care about the fields. I care about that precious son. The fields are white under harvest. You got to raise your hand and me know that you've heard me this morning. Would you say it with me? The fields are ripe. That's a good way to say it, under harvest. And I mentioned this other day to somebody, and they said, Brother Chambers, did you know there's a lot of the wheat and oaks that's rotting in the fields? Because nobody is at that. Jesus' vision was to save souls. You better hear me when I tell you Jesus' vision was to save souls. And so number four is the harvest field. But then I think it's very important that you hear number five. Number five, leading the body of Christ. The body. This is the church. The saints that come in and get saved. Leading them to the fullness of Christ. How much of the church knows nothing about the fullness of Jesus Christ in their life? I'm talking about a life that's mature. I'm talking about a life that's grown up. A life that's taken on the likeness of Jesus Christ. The life that's become such an anointed life and so full of Christ and full of my responsibility is to let nobody who sits in these pews be comfortable if I don't lead you on to the deeper things of God. You got to go on. You've got to take on the deeper things of God. You've got to take on maturity. You've got to become a stalwart Christian. A Christian with some strength in your backbone. A Christian with some devotion in your head. A Christian with a heart that melts for Jesus. Maturity. The church, he gave a vision. You can read it all through the scripture. How he calls you to deeper things. Let us go on with Christ. The scripture says if we go on with Christ, we won't fall back. People backslide because they don't go on. You can't live for Jesus and just sit somewhere and just kind of, what is it, rot? Just lose your passion. I'm here this morning to get everybody in this church, hear me now, saints, a passion to grow in the Lord. If I'm communicating to you, raise your hand, will you? A passion to grow. Let me see it up high. A passion to grow. A passion to put on the likeness of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm going to preach a whole sermon on this. I'm telling you the need of the hour. And number six, our children. The church must have a vision for its young people and its youth. Brother Dillon, I thought you would like this point. A church must have a vision for its children. I want every child in the building, every person under 13 to please stand up all over the building. Now, we don't have a lot of them here this morning. Grandmother took two to her church. Another is a preacher man preaching in Raleigh. That's four. But those of you 13 and up are on to stand up, would you? There's two back here. Are you 13, Samaj? 14? Somebody tell me. All right. Your grandchildren are here. Look here. These are our responsibility. Are you listening to me? If we don't take care of our children, we will answer to God. If we don't teach our boys and girls the way of Christ, we'll answer to God. If we don't raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the words the Bible uses, New Testament words, if we don't raise them in the nurture and admonition, we'll answer to God. We must renew this church in its devotion to our children. We're fixing to do that. We got to reorganize our whole Sunday school. We got to get people in every spot that are absolutely sold out to educating our boys and our girls. Now, let me see how many of you have a passion for that. Raise your hand way up high. I see hands all over the building. A passion for our boys and our girls. Sister Carmen, we care about your family. And I want us to care more than we ever have. This is one of our new ladies, and she is very precious. Sister Marilyn is responsible, I would presume. And she has four children? Four? You have to raise fingers. I can't hear your voice. Three children. We must have a burden for those children. Those two boys are absolutely precious. We've got to have a burden for them. Ms. Burns, we care about Shabbat. We care about your children back there, Gloria. Those two precious children of yours. Oh, yeah. I see little Scubo raising up both hands. Hallelujah. We care about him, don't we? Sister Ginger's little grandson. Precious, precious child. These here, we care. Jesus had a vision for the children. Do you know what he would do? He would sit. And they would come and sit beside him. And he would say, except you become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. He loved the children. Do we love our children? How many of you are glad we have a Christian school here? Let me see your hand. Raise your hand way up high if you're glad we have a Christian school here. There's a lot of people don't like the church to have a Christian school. Oh, they tear up our things. I'd rather have a church torn up with children than have a church that looks so spotless because the kids are all going to hell. What do you feel? I'm not going to give you much excuse but to care about your school. Oh, I'm being honest with you. Brother Robert, you got saved on Academy Sunday. Do you remember that? Last year, he came in those back doors. He didn't know we was having Academy Sunday. He saw kids everywhere, parents everywhere. And he asked Brother Dillon, is Brother Chambers going to preach this morning? Nobody told me. But when I got through preaching, I looked over there and I saw a man ready to get saved. And I said, you came to church to get saved this morning, didn't you? And here he came. See, God knows what he's doing. But there's one more point. I don't have time. I know I've already preached over time. But I want you to get this last one. Jesus has in his vision the day when the church ascends up and joins him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper of the Lamb. And we become united with Christ in a heavenly ceremony. A marriage celebration. We eat together at the great banquet and table. And then we make him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you could just hear me a moment. All that church multiplied millions from all over the ages gathered on the sea of glass, the Bible says. And they suddenly declare Jesus Christ as King of Kings. Oh, he's already that. But they declare him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I can hear them whooping and yelling and crying out, he's our King! He's our King. And we enter into that great harvest supper. And as soon as we get through the supper, he takes us over to the mansion called New Jerusalem. And New Jerusalem isn't built for people who get saved after the rapture. They'll never be able to live in it. They may visit it, but they can't live in it. Because it's built for the bride. It is a city for the bride. I said, it's a city for the bride. And nobody else will live in that city but the bride. He calls it the bridal city. Woo, what a day. So that's the vision of Christ for his church. How many got it? Can you say it with me? Number one, the text, the Bible. Number two, the Christ, the Lord. Number three, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Number four, well, how did I miss my point here? How about that? I memorize everything, but sometimes when I memorize it all, I miss number four, the harvest field. The harvest field. Number five, it's building the church in the image of Christ. Number six, taking care of our children and our young people. And number four, meeting him in the sky. Come on, Shekele Pariah. Somebody go, Jeremiah. Raise your hand, saints, a minute. Did you know that Jesus is looking forward to his church meeting him at the marriage supper? Did you know that? Did you know in the heart of the Lord is the anxiousness for that day when we rise up to meet him in the sky? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody raise your hand and be ready with me. How many are determined to be ready? Did you know a preacher's responsibility is to get every member of his church family ready to be part of the bride? I know preachers today who call themselves holiness preachers. They'll tell you, well, my church don't live it. But I live it, and they see me, so that makes me a holiness preacher. I say to them, if you got a bunch of worldly people comfortable in your church, don't call yourself no holiness preacher, because you ain't. If you're not living holiness, I'm after you. And I'll give you a while to grow, and I'll come to your house. I'll come and sit down with tender mercy as a pastor. And I will do my best to help you because I've got to get you ready to be part of the bride of Christ. Brother Johnson and Mr. Johnson, I'm working now on you too to get you ready to be part of that bride. You can't just be lazy about God. You got to get busy. Hear me, Sister Carmen, you and your family. Hear me, every one of you. My burden is to get you ready to be part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Whoosh! Would you stand? I'll preach my heart this morning. The vision of Christ for his church. I wonder how many of you could raise your hand and say to me, that sounds biblical to me. Can you raise your hand and say that? That sounds biblical to me. That sounds biblical to me. Eto corvi unsaclebro. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. We're here for the kingdom of God. We're here for the Christ church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's pray together. Can you pray with me? Father, thank you for your love this morning. Thank you for your goodness this morning. Thank you, Lord, for helping me preach these wonderful ideas of Christ's vision for his church. Christ's vision for his church. I could not have given you a sermon that I consider more biblical. He wants his church to be his bride. He doesn't want you just laboring down here. He wants you ready to move up there. Ready to move up there. Ready to become part of his bride forever. Get everything out of your heart and mind. You can't be part of a great church unless you are in 100% devoted. You've got to become committed. You've got to become absolutely given to the life of that church. If this vision of Christ for his church has not got a hold of you, spend time this week praying. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you see and hear every point of it. Ask God to help you become an intimate part of the body of Christ. Because God's going to use it for his glory. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I'll just wave your hand and praise them a little bit, will you? Lord, help me now. Let us come to the end of this sermon with an utter devotion. Help us get past our own fears and worriments. Make your church what you want your church to be. Make your church what you want your church to be. Give us people for Sunday school and young people lives. Give us people for every work of the church, every work of the ministry, every part of it. There's much to be done. There's much to be done. There's always task at hand. Sunshine, we got men painting this front window tomorrow, getting it back in good shape. We got other things, little things here and there. There's plenty for everybody to do. Plenty for everybody to do. Plenty for everybody to do. How many want to be a part of a growing church? Raise your hand way up high. Whoa, you want to be part of a growing church? Raise your hand way up high. Do you really? Are you willing to put something into it? Are you willing to give your life for it? Are you willing to sacrifice? Everybody that would, please bring your Bible. Get your Bible in your hand. Would you please? Take the Bible. Hold it strong. And meet me in this altar. We're just going to pray. I was going to tell my musicians, I want them to have to play and sing this morning. I want us just to devote ourselves to the Christ of the church. Devote ourselves to the Christ of the church. Lift your hands high. Come on if you would, saints. Come on if you would, saints. I want every one of you. I want every one of the children. I want the children, Sister Jen. You bring your grandson. We love those little ones. Gloria, bring your children. We want them right here on this altar. We want to dedicate ourselves to them. Will you help me dedicate yourself to the body of Christ this morning? The body. The church is the body. The church is the body. Understand the body of Christ. That's a powerful truth. Father, lead us, saints. Lead us, brethren. Lead us in concert prayer. Pray out for Brother Chambers. Father, if we've ever been given to the church, I dedicate myself. I dedicate all I am to the church. These last months, years, what have I got? I pledge it to the church. I pledge it to the church. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the body of Christ. I hope you're praying. I wish you'd just open your mouth and pray out loud. I love the old-timey preachers who wouldn't let you pray unless you opened your mouth and prayed. I mean, he'd say, come on, open, let's pray. Let's cry out to God. Let's cry out to God. Let's cry out to God. The Bible says, that shall not the Lord avenge his elect that cry day and night unto him? Study that word cry there. It meant they got sick.
Of comfort for God's children. You can find it when you speak his name in prayer. He'll give you rest then from all your cares and labors. There is
that's absolutely true.
When you're tired of all the guilt and all the shame,
hallelujah,
there is a Savior,
hallelujah,
and His open arms are waiting. There is a haven, and Jesus is His name. For the weary soul to run to. When you're tired of all the guilt and all the shame,
hallelujah,
there is a Savior, and His open arms are waiting. There is a haven, and Jesus is His name. There is a haven,
hallelujah,
for the weary soul to run to. When you're tired of all the guilt and all the shame, there is a Savior, and His open arms are waiting.
Hallelujah.
There is a haven.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus is His name.
I love it, Lord.
There is a haven, and Jesus is His name.
Yes, for the hope.
Is His name.
I love it, Lord.
There is a haven, and Jesus is His name.
Just for the hope, I wanted to sing the.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Chambers. I'm glad you included Sister Amy and the kids. More people raised their hands. Amen. I'm trying to make some brown. Amen. Aren't you glad to be
here? Is a haven, and Jesus is His name. There is a haven,
hallelujah,
for the weary soul to run to. When you're tired of all the guilt and all shame,
hallelujah,
there is a Savior,
hallelujah,
and His open arms are waiting.
Hallelujah.
There is a haven,
hallelujah,
and Jesus is.